from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the re-wrap for Wednesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning we're going to look at the downsides and the upsides of some of the policies that were announced yesterday. We also need to talk about Amazon HQ2, where that's going to be. And more sperm talk than you ever would have thought possible. But yes, first up, things that are worrying about the coalition agreement.
And the one that shows that poor old Winston got stiffed is the inquiry into moving the port to Northland. The port is not moving. It was never moving. It doesn't need to move out of Auckland. Why? Because most of the stuff that arrives in Auckland is destined for Auckland, the biggest market in the country, of course, by a mile. So why would you move it to Northland only to put it on trucks and trains and shift it for a second time to the place it could have gone to the first time round? Double handling is dumb. So you launch an investigation, that's what they've done, and in reality that is the end of that. There's an emphasis on regional New Zealand, there's $1 billion fund and a promise to move bits of government into it. Laudable, but artificial. The moment you introduce artificiality, it costs more. Moving a department to Palmerston North is great, but there's transport and communication costs, duplication of rentals and buildings, recruitment issues, and on the artificiality front, the government procurement rules are being amended so local companies get an artificial advantage, which is interesting. Given Queensland has done the same thing, and we packed a massive sack, remember a month or two back? Massive sack, claimed it was a breach of CER. So when the government wants to buy something, the best price is no longer the winner, because a local bidder will get a false advantage, which of course ends up costing more. A lot of this sort of thinking has a patriotic level of support. It's not entirely unpopular, but we only have to look at our own lives, our own buying habits, to see that by and large, the best price wins. Of course, a lot of this depends on how it shakes down. I mean, they're going to reform the Reserve Bank Act. That's not the news. The news is how. And depending on what the how looks like, depends on the impact. But is this a different type of capitalism, as they told us it would be? Not overly, not blatantly, not, oh my God, it's all getting tossed up in the air and everything we've known is out the door. Given the reviews and the vagary, you could almost describe it, in fact, as bland.
Now, if you were worried that Mike was overly worried about this whole situation and just going around wringing his hands and with a big frown on his face, it might not all be bad news. He's tried to see the upside of some of these policies too.
Who saw a tyre stewardship fund in the coalition DLA? But there it is, part of your new deal. Hopefully, given we now have a little bit of detail, we can move past what really has been, in many areas, especially social media, a pretty ugly time in which this election's been reduced to some sort of blood sport with winners and losers, lots of abuse flying in both directions. Government should be for all of us, of course. We don't have to agree with everything. In fact, we'd be mad if we did. But given we are a moderate country, surely what we have learned over the years is that no matter who runs the place, post the mad old days of Muldoon, of course, so in other words, in the modern economy, in a professional political environment, what we've learned is we do okay. And this agreement gives us no real reason to believe, if it sticks, that the world is ending. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff in there that will receive some broad-based popular support, if you think about it. For example, as I said yesterday, the government putting money back into the super fund is good news. A lot of people will argue the minimum wage needs to be higher than it is, and here's a good example of why this government isn't as radical as some of its opponents might want to make out it is. They want that minimum wage, as we've talked about, to be $20 by 2020, 3 years away, and it's already 16, so we're hardly talking about radical change here, despite what you might hear from some. They want to plant millions and millions of trees. Well, who's against that, for goodness sake? Free driver training at school? That's a reflection that schooling is changing. Skills for the real world are increasingly important. 70% of jobs require a license, and yet only 40% of applicants have one. So join the dots. Free breast screening for women age up to 74. I mean, are you arguing against that? Free doctors for under 14. I mean, I personally suggest that the worried, well, the middle class are going to flood the medical offices of the country, but it'll be popular. A comprehensive register of foreign-owned land. Now, that won't achieve a lot. It's just a number. Like we discovered, only 3% of house sales were to foreigners, but there's a call for it. And it's an easy thing to do. And that's the thing about governments in moderate countries. They're not all right, they're not all wrong. Between National and Labour, they've soaked up so much of the middle ground where so many of us reside politically. If you look with an open mind, there is always a decent amount there to, at the very least, not be overly bothered or freaked out about.
And as I keep saying, it's only 3 years. It's like, you know, when I had kids and realised how horrible that was. I figured, you know, It's only 18, 20, 25 years, and then it'll all be over, right? See, there's always a bright side. Amazon. Of course, there's not much in this world bigger than Amazon, and now they're having a second headquarters, but they haven't quite decided where to put it. So there's a few cities queuing up.
Amazon's finally got their cities in check for their headquarters. There were, in the end, 238 cities across America, cities, states and districts, who said pick us, pick us, pick us, because HQ2, which is what they're calling it, is going to provide up to 50,000 jobs and inject $5 billion.
This is not the one that Hamilton had a handout for.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Just
8 million square feet of office.
I'm getting
space.
Those Amazon, City of the Future T-shirts printed up.
Wrong one. Largest corporate office move in decades. And here's your really worrying part, because the governors and the mayors have been throwing subsidies at it left, right, and centre. This so often happens. They go, hey, come on over here. You inject your $5 billion and your 50,000 jobs, and you won't have to pay tax in town for the next 22 years. Which, of course, is what Amazon's relying on. The next part is all the officials are going to have a look at the real estate and see what they're going to do. But I tell you what, whoever wins that particular prize is going to be cheering. It's like Lotto. It's real estate and business lottery, isn't it, basically?
So I then set my research team into action. And by that, I mean I Google a few things about this. And it turned out some interesting facts about what people are prepared to do to get Amazon to move to their city.
Some of the people who've made the bids are Tucson, Arizona. They sent Amazon, for reasons best known to themselves, a 21-foot cactus, thinking that old Bezos would get that and go, oh, man, a cactus in Tucson. Ooh, let's go there. Georgia, as in Stonecrest, Georgia, they actually, a town of 53,000 people, they bid for the headquarters. They said, look, what we'll do is we'll change our name. We'll call ourselves Amazon Georgia. Primanti Brothers, this is in Pittsburgh, are going to run themselves broke, basically, because they said last week that they would give a free sandwich to every Amazon employee if Pittsburgh won the bid. And the difficulty with that, of course, is that's 50,000 sandwiches, which is a lot of sandwiches. Birmingham, Alabama sent giant replicas of Amazon's dash buttons around the city for people to press. And a whole lot of pre-generated tweets were sent to the company every time the buttons were pressed, including Amazon, we got 100% match on Bumble. Want to go on a date? And they promised a new holiday in Charlotte, North Carolina. It will be a new Amazon-themed holiday for the city. So there's a lot of tremendous amount of sucking up going on.
I mean, don't they know that they should act more like James Shaw and just give them a bottle of whiskey?
Give them a bottle of whiskey.
You reckon that Winston was embarrassed that he hadn't got James anything?
Well, I think no. And I think also what happened was that Winston took it, laughed, put it on his desk and go, I'll open that later when you're gone.
Do you reckon James was hoping that he would open it at the beginning of the meeting?
I think he was.
Have some now. Have some now, Winston.
I've got some glasses. Winston. Oh, yeah.
Have another one.
Let's have big drinks. He goes, no, I'm busy. Bye.
Just going back to the Amazon thing quickly. It's weird, isn't it, that so much is made of this, given that surely is Amazon not one of the first places that's going to replace all their workers with robots? I mean, isn't that? I thought that was supposed to be imminently happening. And then really, what economic benefit does that bring to a city? I don't know. Maybe it's not going to happen as fast as everybody's been telling us it is. Not as fast as a salmon sperm, anyway.
So where does this go? Now that you've worked on the Chinook salmon, where does this go? Where do you take this research?
Well, so moving forward, one of the main findings is really that we can show conclusively that seminal fluid, rather than, so that's the fluid that the sperm are in the testes, and it's released with the sperm when they're ejaculated, is the key to this lies within the seminal fluid. So rather than producing new sperm very quickly, some component of seminal fluid is interacting with sperm and changing how they behave. But we still really don't know what that is. So moving forward, it'll be looking at doing research to really investigate what that might be. And seminal fluid is quite a complex mixture, so there's a number of different things that might be.
Well, good luck to you on that one. I appreciate your time very much. Michael Bartlett, will stay in touch, a PhD student at Canterbury University.
That was a fascinating conversation. I think it's a real conversation starter in a lot of cars on the way to school now, probably.
Or a conversation.
When are we holding the sperm competition? Is it like the Masters Games?
Stopper.
I want to know who's got the fastest.
Yes, I wonder which Sky Sport pop-up channel the sperm competition is on. That's right. Might be on one of those spice channels, the pin protected ones, adults only ones. That was just in case, you know, the conversation hadn't got already far too inappropriate. I just wanted to really take it over the edge. I am Glenn ZB. I'll probably do that again tomorrow. That is the rewrap. Who knows what's in the box? We'll find out then. I'll see you on Thursday.